What is up, my kings and queens and all in between? It's Andrew Velasquez with another episode of Mindful Artist Podcast. Welcome back, you guys. Season two. We're here. We're doing the thing. This is your one-stop shop place for all things mindfulness, creativity, while being an entrepreneur. And for today, your following episode with a lovely, lovely special guest. I have an amazing artist, you guys, that I can't wait to share with you their journey. So let me give you a little bio before I go into introducing them. So we have James Vincent, everybody. Welcome, James Vincent. James Vincent's passion and expertise through his work in fashion, editorial, runway, film, theater, television, music, and celebrity has been lauded as modern, exciting, and inspirational. As such, Nylon Magazine, The New York Times, and WWD have named James as a makeup artist to watch. As a true visionary in fashion and editorial, he is an in-demand premier guest artist working with makeup brands that includes MAC, YSL, Pat McGrath, Tom Ford Beauty, Fenty Beauty, and more. James is also a frequent collaborator, key artist for collections and key fashion week shows for every major fashion city across the world, working with such diverse designers as Ashton Michael, Charlotte Ronson, Chris Habana, and S by Serena Williams. His numerous editorial projects and campaigns with photographers Mick Rick, Alexander Thompson, Mike Ruiz, David LaChapelle, etc., have appeared in magazines that include ID, Five, Paper, Wonderland, and Italian Vogue. His love of the arts and music has spanned genres with legendary artists that include Lady Gaga, Florence and the Machine, Doja Cat, Amy Winehouse, Joan Jett, and the Foo Fighters. James' virtuosity has also garnered the adulation of leading ladies like Liv Tyler, Reese Witherspoon, and Jane Fonda, as well as several high-profile influential men and women, including former President Barack Obama.
That's a long bio. They know a long bio your way.
You're good. I'm here for it. It's well-earned, babe. It's well-earned. As Director of Education and Artistry for The Makeup Show and The Powder Group, his unique and fresh approach to training, artistry, cultivation, and product development has him working with makeup artists at all levels of the industry. Concurrently, he is the beauty editor for the On Makeup and Pony Boy magazine and a frequent contributor to countless blogs and publications, including Refinery 29. James has grown his fan base exponentially through his former podcast, The Makeup Show with Danessa Merricks, and his reoccurring appearances as a beauty expert on television shows like NBC's The Today Show, CBS The Morning, This Morning, and NY1. Through his fashion beauty powers, training artists, cultivation methods, and his driving force in the industry, James is a true chameleon across all genres of artistry, and not to mention your Rebels and Outlaws brand that you own as well. Welcome, welcome, James.
The whole podcast is just reading my overly long bio. I apologize. Different bios for different things.
No, babe. It's well earned. I wanted to read all of it because I cropped a little bit, but still, it's amazing. Like, how does it feel to hear your accomplishments, to hear all the things that you
feels
have?
Old.
It feels old. No.
It makes me feel old.
Wise and seasoned. How about that?
I'm cool being old. It's cool. I'm like super leaning into like daddy mode, so I'm okay with it.
I mean, you're a hot daddy, so there's nothing wrong with that. And the husband is happy, so that's all that matters, right?
Keep the boys
I love it. Love it. Thank you so much for being here. This is so cool. I've known you and collaborated in some degree for so long, and to finally have this like in-depth conversation about your journey as an artist and how you got to be where you are. I'm very grateful for that. So thank you for your contribution to our community, to our industry, to everything that you have done. It's like really inspiring for all of us. So I just want to commend you for that. And
thank you. I feel like you and I have always been very aligned with the way we love education and community. And you know, we had a conversation you probably won't remember, but like at the Makeup Show LA years ago now, where we talked about like competing only against ourselves. And I think that is my group of artists, the artists that I tend to surround myself with, that become my friends and family and the agencies that I align myself with. That's how we work. You know, we want to bring everybody else up.
Yeah. You said it perfectly.
Thank you for what you do.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, babe. No, I feel like, there's so much room for growth for everyone out there and opportunity for their own legacy and their own. That's why we're placed on this beautiful earth. That's my background, is showcasing that, is to uplift one another. And that's why I wanted to create the safe space of mindfulness, creativity for everybody, and just, you know, to celebrate each other's accomplishments. But can we go a little rewind? Can we go a little flashback in the past and see, how was baby James Vincent? Where are you from? Were you always creative? And how was it growing up, wherever you were raised?
I think I was always creative. You know, like, my dad coached sports and stuff, and all my brothers played sports. And my dad, they'd be like, "Hey, Jimmy, what position does your kid play?" And he'd be like, "Yeah, he likes to paint and draw." I grew up in Providence, Rhode Island, Rhode Island is the smallest of the 50 states. The whole state is smaller than like cities like Los Angeles. Yeah. And it's a very diverse place. It's very liberal.
Yeah.
Very working class, but there's also a lot of universities and colleges there. And so there's a lot of languages spoken. There's a lot of food. It was founded on freedom of religion. So there is a whole like kind of liberal, kooky contingent to the city I grew up in.
That's so cool.
And I think I kind of always leaned into the arts, but I did feel very outsider. You know, I was a really shy kid. I was a really quiet kid. I was a really lonely kind of kid. I grew up in a really large, really loud, very Catholic family. I grew up in an immigrant family. And so I think when you grow up in those immigrant families, and you grow up in those, you know, I was the oldest son, you know, there's a lot of pressure to kind of bring the family forward. And so, you know, I was a total nerd. I loved books. I loved school. And I really thought education was kind of going to be my way out. Not that I didn't love where I grew up, but I think there's that thing with queerness where, you know, you're kind of divergent to everything. And so I think the gift of queerness was I kind of always knew I had to be in another city. And I remember reading magazines, watching music videos, and thinking like I loved all of that, but I thought that some like fat, weird kid from a poor family could ever work in that world seemed impossible. You know, if you grew up in LA, I think it feels very real, but if you grow up in the smallest state across the country, I didn't know. So I went to school for social work. That's my degree. I was writing my dissertation on women of color and the white beauty myth in the 90s. Growing up in a mixed family, I kind of didn't see us anywhere. You know, there were no Black women on the cover of magazines. There were no Latino women winning Emmy Awards. We were kind of invisible. There was no size or shape or color. Like, my family was nowhere. And so I started looking at that and studying that. And that dissertation kind of led me into makeup. And I was a club kid, and I, you know, I did makeup in Atlanta. I was in Atlanta at that time doing my master's, and the club kid scene there and the music scene there were so crazy. It was still like RuPaul and Lady Bunny, and music was happening there, LaFace music and music videos. It was just a good time. And so I kind of leaned into that and started in makeup, and then Mac hired me, I really was just a club kid. I wasn't a makeup artist, and it changed my whole life, you know? I kind of fell into it. I say I'm an accidental artist, but I love kind of where my life has gone.
Yeah, no, I love hearing that too, that you, as a minority, I can relate to, even coming from a big city. I did not know that that was the smallest state in all of America. So
most
thank you
people
for sharing
don't
that
know
too.
It's a state, so you're ahead of the
game. Yeah. The fact that you took it upon yourself to educate yourself and to want to make a statement for more minorities and, you know, and educate everyone else around you, I think that's so cool. And that I also love that Mac has brought so many people special, unique, creative, weird individuals like ourselves to branch off into their own. And it says a lot about how cool, not that they're not cool now, but when, you know, it was first founded by two amazing artists that were about the artistry of it, right? And it was about the uniqueness of the individual. And it shows a lot how they invested into their employees, because you know, through their futures and through their experience that they had with the company, they venture off like yourself and myself to do their own thing. Like that's how much they were inspired by this amazing company to do and further their own, you know, passions and crafts. So
I think it was also, you know, their ability to see something, you know, at that time when I started with MAC, there were only two stores in the US and you really had to be a makeup artist. You had to have a portfolio and all of that. And I didn't. And so they brought me and they had kind of headhunted me because of my customer service. And so what they did was they put me in this intensive program to really kind of train me on the basics of makeup. And that opened up everything for me. Like, I will always be grateful for that. I haven't worked for MAC since 1996. And I still offer gratitude every time I, you know, do it. And I've done projects for them and they've brought me in to do.
Of course.
Educate, but
once you're MAC family, that's it.
Yeah. And I think that's how I look at makeup. And I remember being in Atlanta, working at MAC. I was still in school. I was working at MAC. I was working at a clothing store because, you know, clothing was expensive and you had to kind of dress. At that time, you couldn't wear jeans and sneakers. But I guess MAC really, you could wear anything. And I worked at CNN every morning when it was still Turner. And
amazing.
I remember sitting in that cafeteria and saying, like, if I ever can help anybody else figure this out, I will, because it was so hard. And MAC was such a beautiful community. But getting into the bigger pieces of the industry were so difficult. And then one day I was just at the counter and a woman kind of approached me, and that's what brought me into celebrity and music industry. She brought me into LaFace. I started working with groups like TLC, assisting artists like Billy B. And that changed me again, because I think I always had mentors and people who saw something in me, which made me want to do that in return, you know? And then I moved to New York. Urban Decay Cosmetics hired me away from MAC and moved me to New York City. And that's when I started assisting Kevin Aucoin. And
incredible.
Then I knew, like, I dropped out of school. I was getting my master's degree. I left school. I started doing makeup full time. And now, you know, decades of makeup.
Right. Wow. Yeah, we have so many listeners and viewers that are wanting to follow, you know, your footsteps and look up to your portfolio. And I wanted to see if you can share any tips or advice for aspiring, you know, future MUAs of the world, but also while looking to incorporate more creativity and spirituality into their work.
I think that they're very connected for me. I think that you have to find yourself. I think that's one of the best advice. I talk about it a lot on stages and stuff, but I remember working with Kevin Aucoin, which is what everybody wanted to do. And it just wasn't my makeup. Like, it wasn't my personality. And Kevin kind of saying to me, like, you've got to find your own style. And then introducing me to Dick Page, who was much more my aesthetic. And then working with people like Linda Cantello and Pat McGrath, and you kind of pull pieces of what you're learning, but you have to find your own authenticity. You have to find your own aesthetic. You have to find your own voice. And what I found was my voice was very much connected to education and community. I've never been the best makeup artist. I have people on my team that are just starting out that are technically much better technical artists than I am. So I had to build my creativity. I had to build my aesthetic. I had to make sure I was the most professional to work with. I have to really work sometimes on the artistry pieces, but the creativity comes very naturally. And so I learned to harness that. And then I always kind of had this witchy, wellnessy, hippie side. For the beginning of my career, I would make, my grandmother taught me how to make candles early on. And so I would make these candles, and I would make perfumes for people. I would make I call them potions at Rebels and Outlaws, but I would use some essential oils and crystals and do skin fresheners. I would create playlists for people. So when they came in, to my space, you know, it had the aesthetic was also this. And that for me felt very wellness driven. And people would say to me, like, you can't do that. You can't bring these cards onto set. You can't bring your candles onto set. You can't burn sage. And even when I started Rebels, like, people that we know were like, stay in your lane, just do makeup. This is, you know, and I would say, no, it's our role. We work so intimately with people. We tap into the elements of art, but also our own creativity, our own experience, our own emotion.
Yeah.
We work with people's vulnerabilities, insecurities. If there's not a wellness element for us creating sacred spaces and taking care of ourselves and being very mindful about how we touch someone, how we talk to someone, you know, and how we leave that, what do we bring into our own home? Rebels and Outlaws, honestly, because I was leaving the best of myself with my clients and coming home depleted for my husband. You know, I did a big project with Fenty and was so exhausted.
Of course.
That I didn't need to do. And I did an artist retreat that Michael DeVellis and Joe DeLude and I do with the Powder Group every year called Evolution. I came back from that week and Jeremy, my husband, said, are you taking the job with Fenty? Like, this is huge money. It's a huge position. And I said, you know, I think I'm going to make candles because I love artists that wellness element, that mindful element, that how can we create, you know, without caring for ourselves. It doesn't make any sense. And so I kind of feel like that's my role. I've spent decades talking about community, I just put together my mindful action program for Michael. And I think this is like 15 years of mindful action, which is, you know, the fact that the Powder Group was talking about wellness 18 years ago, 15 years ago. I think that that's kind of a big, big thing in beauty. So.
Hold up. Like, this is what I'm talking about. I feel like I'm talking to myself. I love you so much. I feel like you are, we speak the same language. I understand everything that's coming out of your mouth. I resonate with every word that you like are preaching. Yes. Spray all of it.
And I'm so
grateful. I'm full of gratitude because it's not a coincidence. The fact that the universe has brought all these beautiful lights together within our industry itself. I'm talking you, Michael DeVellis, Joe, Melanie Mills, you know, like all these special lights, like I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, that I know we've all like made an impact within each other's lives. Therefore, it is our obligations to do that with the rest of the freaking world. 100%. Does that make sense? So,
even, you know, we say even with the makeup show, when we go into other cities, what some people don't know is that Shelly donates to different charities, traditionally women's charities, queer charities, things like that. And we mentor in different schools because you cannot take from a community without giving back to a community. And so with the Powder Group, with the makeup show, with my own artistry, it's essential, you know,
so
many people now are focused on like their likes and their follows and their, for me, it's like, if you are not kind, if you are not putting the best of yourself forward and you're not bringing everybody else with you, if you're not building safe spaces for people, who cares how many followers you have? You know what I mean? Like, to me, it's like focusing on the wrong stuff.
Also, the right substantial followers will follow as you're supposed to karmatically connect. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's not even about the quantity, it's the quality of the people that the groups that are really supposed to hear these messages and hear these words, and then in return they also do that for somebody else. Like, and that's the whole point of my Four Artists podcast, is like to have this safe space, because I kept researching, like, and I love podcasts, but that I had different ones that I would go to for different things, you know, one for artistry, one for mindfulness, one for entrepreneurship. And I'm like, hold up. Like, I am all those things. James Vincent is all those things. Melanie Mills is all those things. We can house this in one safe space for everybody to learn and to make a difference in their own lives. So I'm so grateful to have you here. Like, thank you so much. I want to ask you so many things. Okay. So, Rebels and Outlaws, I'm a fan. I love the products. I have the sanitizers. I have the candles. I always try to have like a new one for either a birthday or, I don't know, something substantial like a new moon or a new year. Actually, today's a new moon too, and it's a new moon in Capricorn, which I'm a Capricorn. But I wanted to ask James, what practices or routines do you have in place to nurture your creativity and spirituality while running your businesses?
You know, for me, it starts with daily changes. And you know, coming out of long-term COVID and really like COVID really knocked me down. It took a lot from me. So I really had to look at my daily practices. And so, you know, for me, every morning starts with a little bit of breath work, meditation, some type of movement. You know, now I'm able to go to the gym, but when I wasn't, just a walk, just you know, those type of things. Working on my breathing, realizing how precious my breath was after having so many issues with my lungs, and being locked down in New York City. Meditation, gratitude every morning. I have to really, even on those days where maybe I'm not feeling it, you know, maybe I keep a gratitude journal so I can go back on those days and remind myself. Connection to other people. I try and draw or paint or have some type of artistic practice every day now. I take a lot of classes. I take a lot of education, like cross education, not just makeup driven, but art classes, figure drawing, lighting classes, classes with other people that work in wellness. It's essential because that creativity, right? That like fire in your belly that needs to be stoked, you know, that needs to be cared for. And so I really am about encouraging other people to figure out what practices they can find to keep their creativity flowing, their artistry flowing, but in small measures, because I think that especially in the United States, we have this big moment of like new year, new me. And I really think it's in those small moments that can be very sacred. The way I make a soup, the way I have dinner with friends, the
I love
way
that.
I, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, find inspiration and then bring it to the page. The way I treat another person, those things for me, those little daily actions of mindfulness become much larger as you start to put them together and practice them. And then I pull that into set. So I pull cards every day for myself. Now my clients have started asking for them, but I kind of put together something special for my client. So I always come to them with music or a playlist, a candle. My potions are for the skin, but also for smudging a space when I can't burn something. And it's just essential oils and hydrosols. I use hand sanitizers that have crystals. And so, like, little moments that for me just pull me back to the creativity. And so then I have that creativity that I can share and put forward in a way that is very much about the individual and very much about making that moment special instead of, you know, running or whatever. I stood on a stage at, I want to say, the Artist Summit with the Powder Group, because I feel like Michael was that I was freaking out. But I kind of apologized to people because I said, you know, I've talked about the hustle for so many years because that's how I was raised in the industry. And what I have come to realize in the last few years is it's about alignment. It isn't about running forward with no direction or moving faster or harder than everybody else. It's about stopping and listening and letting your own passion, right? Your own goals, your own needs kind of pull you towards what is yours.
No, I agree 100%. I firsthand can speak on my personal testimony, just being raised in Los Angeles, and that was, you know, where I grew up. I didn't know anything else beyond that. So inevitably, in a huge metropolitan city, that you're going to be immersed into just kind of like noise and not even aware of it. And it wasn't until moving to and more Orlando, Florida, where I'm at now, which we've been here for a year and a few months now, that I realized I was addicted to chaos and to like stress.
Oh
I
my
was
God.
like, oh, I was looking for that anxiety to go from set to salon to the school to wherever and drive in traffic. And I was not aware that I was accustomed to that energy. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
And now when I'm
100%.
here, I'm like, oh, I don't have to have anxiety like that anymore. I don't have to drive 3 hours to the Inland Empire or to Orange County or to wherever I was going and take this kit and go from that set to this set. Like, I can just work remotely and work at a salon and just teach. Oh yeah, like I can be present. So everything you're saying as far as like resetting, and I've kind of been doing that, not even really knowing. I haven't used tarot cards, but I have these deck of words of affirmations that I use with my guests and my clients when they sit. I have them pick one, and that's literally that sets the tone for that session. So it's like, James, are you in my like head? Like, what is going on? Like, you're doing all the things that I just kind of been practicing on my own. Like, but it makes sense, and I'm not surprised by it. Like, I'm not surprised that we're all drawn towards each other to some degree too. And I
Well,
know you're going to show us something, but I want to talk about Rebels and Outlaws some more. Go ahead, show us.
I was going to say, I don't think I realized that I had anxiety until COVID hit. Like, I thought I didn't return texts because I was always busy. I was shooting two or three times a day, going from location to location, doing all that. I didn't realize that I had a kind of panic about me because everyone in New York is at that vibration and that level. And then when
Period. Yeah.
COVID hit, all of a sudden, I was like, I need to figure out a way to really kind of deal with these things. And it is also kind of about looking at your ego. You know, I think it was very difficult for me in a way to go from doing these very high profile editorials, high profile celebrities. Janessa Myricks and I just had a conversation about it. And then to say, you know what? I don't enjoy doing celebrities for red carpets. I find it to be stressful and it's not where I can be the most creative. Fashion Week, which other people look at as chaos and you know, I love. So I think it was also stepping back and saying what fulfills me. The title artist is so broad that you can really kind of use that title and education and career to do a lot of different things. And I think I had to kind of push my ego aside and say, not what brings me the most notoriety, but what feels the best to me, and turning down high profile clients who, you know, were paying well just because I knew it wasn't a fit wasn't easy for my agent or myself, but I knew for my own mental health I had to do that. I'm just pulling cards. So I don't work with tarot cards. I work with oracle cards, and this is a deck from a great energy person out of LA, Marcella Krall, called Nature Nurture. And so my card for us is forgiveness, the doves. Yeah, and
I love that.
I love that. And I use these, you know, for me it's like pulling cards and stuff. It's almost just like a daily affirmation, you know, a daily direction. Like I know, okay, like now I'm going to be mindful about forgiveness all day, forgiving other people, forgiving myself, forgiving. And I think that that's just a little spark that I need sometimes to do those things. And I think my clients like that too. So I bring my cards onto sets.
Absolutely. And yeah, no, same thing. Your sanitizer, I will have not only use it myself, but it's almost like a little ritual where I'll have us use it together, inhale, exhale, and boom, we can get started. You know what I mean? It's like a whole thing. Tell us about Rebels and Outlaws. When did that start? How did it start? And for those of us that are not aware of it, like how can they research it?
Well, Rebels and Outlaws, the name kind of comes initially when I was in New York before I could get my own agent, when I was still assisting people like Pat and Dick and all of those people. It was very hard sometimes to get seen if you didn't have an agent. And so a few of my friends and I got together and we started a collective and we called it Rebels and Outlaws. And we would just send each other's invoices, following up on each other's invoices, kind of because you couldn't play the bad guy, you know, and this is really before everything was virtual. So it was like sending your book around and like, you know, sending things in the mail. And so we kind of created a way to support each other as artists. And then what we found was people would say, like, oh, who represents you? And we would say, oh, Rebels and Outlaws. And no one wants to not know someone. So people would say, like, oh, you know, and it was just basically like three of us with a desktop computer, you know, doing.
That's so cool.
And so then we kind of used it as a way to kind of represent artists. And it kind of morphed. And Jeremy, my husband, and I were both on a big project, launching Fenty, you know, working with Rihanna. I interviewed 2,800 makeup artists for Rihanna all over the world. And offers were coming in because I was doing these very high profile things and shooting. And I just felt, you know, this sounds so horrible, babe, because it was what I worked for. Like, I wanted those magazines. I wanted those major clients. And then I got there and I felt so alone and so empty. And I did this artist retreat with Michael that we do every year. And it was like a shift happened. And I just said, okay, I'm not the only artist going through this. All of my artists here are experiencing something similar. And Jeremy has always been that person that can kind of, you know, if it's important to me, it's important to him. And so I just came home and I was like, this is what I want to do. And he bought me a candle making kit. And it really started very small. I really thought it would just be like a few people, a few things.
Yeah.
And so Rebels at Outlaws is about protecting your energy, preparing your space, curating something for your client, and then also caring for yourself through the process. And so things like the candles, you know, I think what people don't realize is like, I touch every candle. It's my favorite thing to do. But when, say, you ordered a candle from me, every candle, I sigil it, I prepare it, I prepare all of the crystals, because I want them to
have it even more special.
Yeah. And so what I do is each candle is kind of like an unguided meditation. I use ingredients to bring across something very specific, like Phoenix from the Flame is kind of a burgundy candle. Black candles are about letting go of negativity in the past. Red candles are about bringing that passion back, right? Igniting that again. So this color-wise will do that. And then it has like chocolate, and which is about like love and kind of the heart. And then smoke, which is about vision. And it's kind of reminding you, this is called Phoenix from the Flame. And then I choose crystals that kind of are also about bringing you back, remembering who the fuck you are and like what you're capable of, but in a way that feels empowered. So it's just a candle, but in my mind, when this is on set with you, or this is in your, you know, in your office, it is bringing all of that intention of the essential oils, of the crystals, of the colors, you know, all of these kind of magical practices in one place. And the same, like with this is Busy Hands is a hand sanitizer that I just keep on my, you know, where my computer is. And it's an old Italian money spell. So this is like what my aunts would do, you know, to kind of bring the cash in, and you're putting it on your hands. So it's like, in that moment, you're having that mindful moment of like, okay, I'm bringing all good things to me in abundance, you know? And I feel like Rebels serves purposes in like, yes, it's sanitary and disinfecting product that meets CDC requirements, but without chemicals, without all of those things. And every ingredient that we work with, every crystal, every piece of every product is also sourced from our friends, other small companies, female-owned, queer-owned, Black, Brown, BIPOC-owned, because that's also important. So it's absolutely, like, yeah, the candle that you're lighting on your desk, but I wanted people to have those moments of mindfulness. And so that's why I kind of use Rebels in a way to empower artists. We do a lot of charity. We do a lot of candles. A few of our candles right now are 100% of the proceeds go to different charities. And we try and connect other artists and other people. And yeah, it's like my baby that's kind of grown much bigger than I ever thought it would.
And you should be very, very proud of that too. It's touched so many people's lives, and it's going to make a big impact in this world, period. I see big things for it. And I'm thinking about the sanitizer. I'm all out. I need to get some more. So rebelsandoutlaws.com, is that correct?
Rebelsandoutlawsnyc.com.
Perfect. But I'll put everything in the description so you guys can follow that. Beautiful. I love that. Okay, so you're successful. You're an entrepreneur. You're published. You're well-known. You're just all the things that people, you know, look up to and aspire to be. But at this point in your career, like, how do you measure success in both your creative and entrepreneurial pursuits? Do they ever overlap?
You know, success is one of those things that I think it's such a difficult word. I think that sometimes people, especially makeup artists, think there's going to be a moment where all of a sudden it all becomes very easy, where all of a sudden it becomes, you know, you've made it. And I would say from working with celebrities and working with makeup artists, it's not. It's a constant movement forward to keep that momentum, you know? And I think if you are not aligning your goals for success, because I'm a big advocate of like setting goals, measurable, achievable goals, and looking at your behaviors and your work to get towards these goals. If you're not looking at who you are, where you are, meaning the reality of your situation, like if you're a mom with three small children, your goals probably have to adjust to that. If I live in a certain city, my goals have to adjust to that. And then I have to look at who I am. And so for me, the way that I mentor in programs like Danessa Myricks and I with Anshelly Tagar have iArtist, which is our year-long mentor program. It's very much about aligning your wellness and your wholeness and your community, you know, work with your own personal goals, because we don't live in a vacuum. And so I really try and encourage any artist who's ever worked with me, I really encourage them to take care of themselves, take care of their community, and work on aligning their values and their belief systems and their, you know, passions with their aesthetic and their goals and their financial and success goals. I think when I was young, I thought success was financial or notoriety. And now at, you know, I'm 50 years old. I've been doing this since I was 20.
Yeah. Looking fabulous still.
I know Joe told me I need Botox because I don't.
No.
Yeah.
No, you're fine. Your skin is glowing. Yeah, you're good.
Success is waking up every day and being able to do the things I want to do with the people I want to do them with. And going to sleep every night feeling like, even if I haven't accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish, I did it with authenticity and I did it with integrity. And I do feel like sometimes it's hard in makeup. I know people have, you know, made fun of me because I'm like a Pollyanna and I'm like, everybody hug. And this is about community. You know, there was a while where one of the pro stores in LA, all of their people would laugh like they had a joke every time that I used the word community on stage. They would make fun of me for it. And you know, this is in the past and we've taken care of it all, but one of
them
brought me a gift and was like, you know, this is not me being trite. This is not me being whatever. I truly believe that good, kind is important. And I truly believe those things. And I think sometimes in a competitive industry, people look at those things as weakness. Mm-hmm. But for me, I guarantee if you tie your personal to your professional ideas of what success are, you will get much further. And for me, it's no longer just about being happy or just about being financially secure. It's about being fulfilled. Am I doing something every day that I enjoy doing? That is success for me. You know?
Preach. Oh, it's like chills up and down my body. I love your vocabulary, all the words, everything you say. It's just, yeah, I feel like we could talk for hours. It makes a lot of sense. All of it is just like, you're in my head a little bit, James. You really are. It's so bizarre, but it's not. Very cool. All right, you guys. So for season 2, 2024, we have a new segment that I am very excited about.
The library is open! Yeah! Because reading is what?
Fundamental!
There you have it, darling.
This is a great space for our guests to share their current or favorite book that they've read in the past. So it is called The Library is Open. James, Vincent, please share with us your book that you're currently reading, and your top three reasons why.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say my book of one of my books of all time, because I was torn, is Audre Lorde, Zami, A New Spelling of My Name, which is a great biomythography. If you are struggling with like being able to stand up and be yourself, Audre Lorde is a great, great feminist writer from the third wave. But the book that I'm reading now, and to be honest, reading for the second time in a few months, is The Creative Act, A Way of Being by Rick Rubin. And I'll tell you, it's changing everything for me. And it was one of those weird things where, like, John Hennessy, who, if you don't know John, he's a great artist and educator out of Vancouver. He's also my agent with Nobisora, and he recommended it to me. And then I got on a plane with Danessa Myricks, and she recommended it to me. And then I got home, and Joe DeLude recommended it to me. And it was like, so all of these artists who I love, not just as artists, but as people, like, this is my family, were reading this book. So I picked it up, and Joe said, it's a very easy read. And the first time I read it, I really did. It's like 3-page chapters, and it's very much about like encouraging you to keep your creativity going and to look at your own creativity. And now I'm going through, and I'm spending about a week on each chapter.
It's
like 3 pages.
But hearing it differently now.
Yeah, yeah. Because like right now I'm looking at the idea of like distraction over procrastination. Wow. Like it changed the way I thought about it, because I thought, you know, as artists, especially at this time of year, especially when goals feel really overwhelming, especially when tasks feel difficult, I think it becomes very easy to put it off. And so it has now changed my behavior, because I'm saying, like, what are these little things that I can do to keep moving forward in my mindfulness, in my self-care practices, in my career trajectory? So this book, I recommend it for everybody. It is like,
I love the cover, for those of you that are watching on YouTube.
It's really
and
great.
If you're listening,
Rick Rubin, so cool. So music is also such a big part of what I do.
Yes.
Music involved in everything.
Yes.
And Rick Rubin is so iconic in his work in the music industry and the artists that he's worked with. So it's also feels like someone who understands what it means to be a creative who also monetizes our creativity. Because I think that's sometimes very difficult, is it's very easy sometimes to think artist is at one level and people who make their money making art are at another level. And I think, you know, we have to so often bring the balance between art and commerce
in, yeah, absolutely,
in what we're doing.
Well said, Pip. I love that. Oh my God. So cool. All right. So we have The Creative Act, A Way of Being by Rick Rubin. And then your other favorite one was Audre Lorde.
Audre Lorde. Yeah. Okay. Zami, A New Spelling of My Name. It's a great biomythography. Audre Lorde is a feminist writer from the third wave, but also is one of the first kind of Black women, queer women in the LGBTQ movement and in the women's movement to kind of talk about the idea of making our own space, of kind of being ourselves. And you know, she calls artists the lunatic fringe, those kind of sister outsiders. And I think that's such a great description for kind of what we do in the world. We have to be disruptors. We have to space for other people. You know, like my quote that I'm using with my artist this year at iArtist is, Anais Nin, you know, had I not created my entire world for myself, I surely would have died in someone else's. And so I think it's this idea of like, how we have to create our own spaces, but also how we have a responsibility as artists to create safe space for other people, to help other people feel seen, to help other people heard and cared for. And I think makeup artists are naturally so good at that. And those two books are kind of sometimes when I need that reminder right now.
It embodies it. It embodies it. Yeah.
Completely that.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much, James. Okay, cool. I wish I had like a whole other hour with you.
Sorry, I'm but a talker.
I love the talking. This leads me into my other favorite part of the podcast called Wrapping Up Mindful Artist Rapid Cues. I'm going to ask you three questions, James Vincent, wherever you are at the top of your head. Doesn't have to think about it too hard, but just intuitively.
Okay.
Question number one, who is your hero and why?
Oh my God. Yeah, quick. Wow. I mean, you know, I want to say there are so many people in politics and art and music that are heroes to me, that inspire me. But I'm going to be like a mama's boy and say like my mom, you know.
Yeah. She's just, What's mama's name?
Carol.
Shout out to Carol.
She like just does it. She did it all and she overcame so much and she still does it with like a kindness and like care. And I don't know, as tough as things were, I think we never knew it. You know, she was raising us on her own and I don't think we ever knew how difficult it was because she always made it look easy and we always felt taken care of. And as an adult, looking back at a woman who not only made her family, but went from being a single mom to like vice president of a bank and doing all of those things, I don't think I ever realized how tough it was or how tough it would be. And that's why with the makeup show and stuff, we do so much for moms because I'm a mom as boy. And
yeah, and, I you love know, like, that.
And I would say if you want something more like artistic, I would say, I have so many people that inspire me. So hard. Hero is such a difficult word.
It is for many. I've in the past, people have said like a personal one and then an artist one.
Yeah, I would say an artist who inspires me. Like Joan Jett. Like I'm just
your client too. Yeah. No big deal.
Yeah, it's kind of like a big, you know, like I what as an a teenager, icon. I would like listen to her music and then like
talk about Rebels and Outlaws.
Yeah, really. It's like, you know, 27 labels turned her down and she knew she had a hit. And so they produced it themselves. They started their own record label and there were 4 number ones on that album, you know, and it's like so many artists that I work with hire me because I work with Joan. And then they say, especially female artists, she's the reason I picked up a guitar. She's the reason I did that.
Yeah.
And she's still doing it. And I think like,
hell yeah.
So many of the great things that have happened to me in my life are because clients included me in something. Yeah. And I don't know. So she comes top of mind,
I love it.
I'm always inspired. I'm inspired by everybody I meet, you know?
Yeah. Well said. Cool. All right. Wrapping up my Florida's Rapid Cues. Question number 2 for James Vincent. What is your favorite music album of all time?
These are literally, I would say probably Joni Mitchell's Blue album is an incredible album. Lauryn Hill, Miss Education of Lauryn Hill is one of my favorite albums of all time. Carole King, Tapestry, but probably Fleetwood Mac, Rumors. If we're talking like all time, this is like the music. That
yeah, almost, like, you know, you're on a deserted island. You have one disc man, one CD to play from beginning to end.
Probably Fleetwood Mac, Rumors.
Good job. I love that. Okay, very cool. I knew you were going to pick something like badass too, but also like heartfelt. All right. Question number 3, wrapping up my full artist rapid cues for James. What is your favorite quote?
I have to look at my phone, if that's okay. Because
that is okay. Yes.
Because
I love the songs or the albums that you and the artists you have chosen, Joni Mitchell, Lauryn Hill. For your favorite music album of all time, that's so cool. And then Mama Carol as your hero, and Joan Jett.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, I have a weird thing. Like I admire people. I spend a lot of time in gratitude and admiration for people. And so for every artist that I listen to, for every activist that I work with, you know, I see them as a hero in that role. So it's difficult for me to kind of choose one.
I understand.
Same with a quote, but this is my quote right now. Had I not created my whole world, I would certainly have died in other people's. And I think, you know, in January for me is kind of like easing into a new year. And that quote is really powerful for me right now because I think sometimes we need to remember that. Like we are responsible for what we create around us. And I think I've been really thinking about the idea of artists, right, who are counterculture, and queerness, which is counterculture. And I think we're really called to create our own lives and to create our own space and to create that, to be open for other people as well. So I don't know, like, quotes are also one of those things that come and go for me, but that's kind of where I am.
Yeah, no, it's whatever resonates with you currently and where you're present. And you actually said this a little while ago as you were talking about the Power Group next mindfulness workshop that you guys are going to be doing. So no, I'm here for it. Had I not created another world, I would have died for other people.
Have died in someone else's. What is yours?
Yeah. Right now, I'm here to shake shit up. Yeah, no, I had all these reservations of moving to a conservative state and, you know, hesitations and doubts. But honestly, the universe, like, showed me otherwise. It opened up to just other community and like-minded people like myself. And it's really proven me that we can create community wherever we go. And as long as my husband and I have that same kind of like value in life and the same kind of philosophy, and we're supporting one another throughout our own journeys, then we're good. You know, we're going to be happy wherever we go. And I really do feel we have a big purpose here. And so that's why, like, all these other little things like my book and the palette, now the podcast, have come about since then. And this is just the beginning. I feel like, and even with you and the Powder Group, I feel like you guys are going to shake shit up as well. We're making a huge difference in this world. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so proud that we're all connected in some way in a circle. And a circle is a big symbolic, you know, beautiful shape. And we got to keep that going. I keep saying that I'm the student, forever student of the University of Mother Nature. And I love learning from other fellow beauties like yourselves. And I will not stop. You know, we're here to just make an impact in other people's lives. And I really hope that that continues. And imagine that everyone does a little bit of that every day. Like, how much of a difference are we going to make? Like, you know, it sounds euphoric, but I feel like it sounds like a reality. Like, it sounds a little bit of an artist renaissance that I feel we can really make a difference. I don't know.
There's another quote that comes to me a lot, and it's from Sister Ida Ford, who was a Marinole sister martyred in El Salvador. And it's from a letter she wrote to her 16-year-old niece who was living in Brooklyn. And she mailed it right before she was killed. And in that letter, she says, you know, I hope you come to find that which is worth living for, maybe even worth dying. Mm. You know, I can't tell you what it is or what those things are, but all I can do is support you in the search. And that has always really spoken to me, because I think that's the other thing that we're called to do, is sometimes help other people figure out who they are and what they're doing and where they want to go. And for me, that's kind of where I see my role. I want to use my platform and my voice and my experience and my knowledge to be able to help others be them their best selves, just career-wise, you know, but in like who they are and who they want. So I appreciate putting this together and giving people.
Yes. So this is your time to plug all the things. And where can we follow you? Where can we sign up for your workshops? What is happening next? Because I want to sign up. I'm so excited for this.
I'm gonna put a hat on for that. it's busy. My personal Instagram at J Vincent Makeup, I kind of watershed everything there. Rebels and Outlaws, we are growing and growing. In addition to the candles, and now we're doing incense. We've partnered with B3 Cosmetics, and so we're going to be doing manifesting body creams and oils.
Yes. And creams. I love it. Mind, body, soul.
In all of the same creations. We don't work with any synthetics, so everything is very natural. And then with the makeup show this year comes into Atlanta. For the first time in a while, New York and Chicago this year. And Danessa and Shelley and I have our eye artist program this year, which is all about art and commerce. It's very much about realistic, like a workbook to help you figure out like writing your business plan, writing your mission statement, your vision statement, putting you in front of agents, putting you in front of managers. And asking those questions, bringing in people from places like Facebook to advise you on how to build your social presence. And then with the Powder Group, Michael just has so much going on this year, but we've got Evolution, which is our week-long artist retreat in Provincetown that you should totally do.
Yes,
changer. And we've got Mindful Action it's 6 programs a year, and this is just a kind of about the wellness and the wholeness, but in a very active way of kind of identifying your own wellness and putting a plan in place. And then there's education all the time at the Powder Group. There's so many programs, and if you want to see Rebels and Outlaws, you can always look at us at Rebels and Outlaws on Instagram or at the Powder Group or at the Makeup Show. I'm kind of everywhere,
or at the Makeup Altar too.
The Makeup Altar, yeah. I don't have any programs set up with Melanie right now, but we sell at the Makeup Altar. But as far as like education and mentorship, and I'm now even doing, Joe DeLude and I have our own studio, Vessel Studios, here in Rhode Island. Very cool. We're going to be putting together programs about art and mindfulness. So not so makeup, but things much more about the whole self.
So rad. Congratulations on everything, babe. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate all the input, all the feedback. You guys, go follow James. You have Mindful Artist Podcast, your one-stop shop place for all things creativity, mindfulness, and balancing your spirituality while being an entrepreneur. You guys, that song you're about to hear is called Mi Corazón. You can download Mi Corazón wherever you download your favorite music. Until the next time, make an impact in somebody's life. Much love and light to you all. Thank you, James. Love you.
Thank you, baby. Thank you for everything.
Bye, everybody.